What's that? Amen. Okay, good. Yeah, get on with it, Pastor Mike. Okay, good. I got it. Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be today. So I invite you to reach there and open up your Bible to Luke chapter 5. We're part of an ongoing series on the Gospel of Luke. And this story is actually a fishing story. This story is actually a fishing story. And how many here have ever told a fishing story? You can confess. I won't put you on the spot. Okay, well, most of you know that fishing stories, you know, sometimes they're like, I think they drift with time. Ever experienced that? I was thinking of a fishing story of my own. It was, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I don't remember the circumstances, but I just had a lousy morning here. It was a weekday. I was here at church. It was like this time of year. And I don't know what was going on that morning, but when I went home for lunch, I was just like gritting my teeth, and I ate lunch. I said, I got to do something like to get refreshed. And so canoe, fishing pole are down in the backyard. We live on a lake. And so I hopped in the canoe, and it's like now like 12:20. The sun's coming down. If you're a fisherman, you know that like 12:20 on a sunny day is probably not the best time to fish, right? I mean, you're going to want to be like early in the morning or late in the day, or you're the fish really like the cloudy day, or maybe if there's a little rain. And so I'm going out, and it's like no chance I'm going to catch a fish. So I paddle out just a couple of strokes offshore, and I cast this rubber worm out. And it hits the water, and boom. I reel in with like lots of jumping and excitement. I reel in the biggest bass I ever caught on our lake. Now, I'm going to tell you, I still believe that's the biggest bass I ever caught. But I can't, to be honest with you, I can't actually remember how big it was. But I'm going to go with 23 inches, 6 pounds. Okay? Now, you and I know that the bass probably wasn't that big, right? The story drifts. But you know, when God tells us a fish story in the Bible, it's not going to drift. See, these are ancient words, words that never change. This is the word of God. It is always true. It was true when it happened. It's true when he wrote it. So if you would stand and join me, we're going to read a fish tale here. By the way, this is not about Jonah, okay? This is a different one. Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, you know how much I delight in this story. But now, Father, as I share from your word to your people, I ask for your help. Would you fill me right now with your spirit? Would you lead my words that the people whom are in this room, whom you love, would hear exactly what you want them to hear? And again, Father, I need your help with that. So bless these people with your word. Touch us and change us by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a take a seat, if you would, please. I do love this story. It's a great story. This guy Simon, by the way, this is where we first meet him, and in this text he is called Simon Peter. So this is Peter that's going to be the follower of Jesus. What's going on here in the life of Jesus' ministry is things are really just getting rolling. And he has been teaching and preaching in the towns around the Sea of Galilee. That was his growing up neighborhood, the town of Nazareth, which, by the way, is not next to the sea. It's up the hill and a few miles away. And as he's been teaching and preaching, he has brought forth the power of the Word of God. He's been doing miracles and been establishing that he has authority over everything. He was, remember, he was tempted in the desert by Satan. He has authority over temptation. He has authority to bring the Word of God with power, the Word of God with power. He has the authority to cast out demons. He has the authority to heal people of their illnesses. And now we're going to see him demonstrate authority over a guy named Simon Peter, who, by the way, is a guy just like you. And I want you to imagine this scene now. There's this one occasion, and this big crowd is pressing in on him. So all these people that have been following Jesus, because he's famous, and I mean, who wouldn't want to hang around with a guy that can heal all your illnesses and cast out demons and is speaking with power and authority as from God? And so this crowd is there, and they're pressing in on him to hear the word of God. And Jesus is by the shore here. It says, of the lake of Gennesaret. That is another name for the Sea of Galilee. This freshwater body, it's a big freshwater lake in the middle of the Promised Land, actually in the northern part of it. And so he sees two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. That freshwater body is filled with a freshwater kind of fish that I guess it's kind of like a big, like, bluegill kind of a fish is what they look like. And actually, today they are called St. Peter's fish. It's abundant in that lake, and in that time and in that land, it was a good food source. And for these guys, it was their living. They were commercial fishermen, basically. And I want you to notice here that there are like two pairs here of brothers, Simon and his brother Andrew, and James and John. And it just shows you the pattern of life there, which is these guys would have been the sons of a fisherman. And they would have inherited the fishing business, like the boat and the nets and the baskets to take the fish to market. And so they're like in this family business. It's been going on there for generations, probably for centuries, that they've been fishing in this lake. And so Jesus comes onto the shore, and the people are all excited, and they just want to hear from Jesus. Who wouldn't? And then Jesus sees a boat and goes, you know what? I need a little pulpit space. I need to get out away from the shore so I can speak clearly to the people. And so he points to this one boat and says, I'm getting in this boat. So he gets in that boat, and he points at Simon and says, yo, boat owner, come on over here, and would you just take me out? This is our introduction to this guy, Simon. I want to call him right now Simon the Candidate. See, because he's going to be the close follower of Jesus that actually gives the incredible speech about Jesus that bursts the church about 3 years from this time. But he has no idea. He's completely clueless. You have to wonder, like what he's thinking that morning. You know, we read here that they've been out fishing. They haven't caught anything. So he's a commercial fisherman. He just got skunked. He worked all night long, and he's got, like, bupkis to show for it. Nothing. That's a Greek word. No, it's not. Okay, but he's got nothing to show for it. And I'm going to guess maybe a little frustrated. And so all these people show up, and you have to wonder, like was he going, like, this is, like, awesome. I mean, this is the best finish to a bad day, because this man that we've heard about, this healer man of God, is like he brought his party to our beach. So now we have something to, like, entertain us while we wash our nets. By the way, the pattern was that they would fish all night, and then if they caught fish, they'd be loading them into baskets off to market. And in any event, then they would, like, turn, whether they caught fish or not, then they would turn to, like, making their nets ready to fish the next day. Then they'd go get some rest. And then as the sun was going down, back out on the sea, right, to fish. So he's doing this, and we got to wonder, was it, like, a good deal, or is he basically going, are you kidding me? I just had a lousy day, and now I got a crowd of people down here, and I just want to clean my nets and get some rest. See, we don't know what his heart is, but here's what we do know, that Jesus is in control of this scenario. See, the context here is we've been seeing how Jesus has authority over all things. And Jesus comes to Peter when he's just doing his thing and invades his space. I'll just step back and make kind of a big theological point right now. This idea that Jesus comes to us sets Christianity apart from every other religion. See, because all the other religions teach that we need to do stuff to draw close to God. Like, if you do this, you'll learn more about God. If you study this, you'll get closer to God. If you do these good deeds, you will move closer to God. If you build a, Oh, this is risky, Randy. If you build a stairway to heaven, now Led Zeppelin just started to run in his head. But if you build a stairway to heaven and climb the steps to heaven, you get closer to God. But people aren't that interested in trying to find God. We'll talk about, more about that in a second. So what God did is he sent his one and only son here. And we see it in microcosm with Simon Peter, the fisherman, just doing his thing. And Jesus shows up on his beach in his boat and then says, would you get in my boat and let's go out there? And so now Simon Peter, who was basically kind of like multitasking, you know, it's like, you know, we're talking about this in Bible study, you know, like you sit down to dinner with your spouse and they're over there like with their device, you know. And say, you got to lose the device. Gary's laughing. You got to lose the device, right? So no more cleansing the nets. Now it's just like you got to sit in this boat. And so he's sitting in the boat, but it's maybe a little impersonal. Jesus sits down, it says here. And he taught the people from the boat. In verse 5, it says they came to hear the word of God. By the way, we're starting to see now kind of characteristics of what it looks like to be a candidate. See, because being a candidate, I call Peter the candidate here. This is his candidacy, and it happens to every single person that becomes a Christian. This time where, like, Jesus, like, kind of shows up and invades your space. Like, I'm just doing my thing, and all of a sudden, like, Jesus is, like, talking to me. But he's actually not talking to Peter here. He's talking to the crowd, and Peter is listening, and what is being brought is the Word of God. And what we know about the Word of God is that it has power. It is living. It is active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. It is able to divide joint and marrow, soul and spirit. It tests and judges the attitudes of the heart. I'm quoting Hebrews 4:12 here. The prophet Jeremiah says it's like a rock. I'm sorry, it's like a hammer that breaks rocks. It's like a fire. And so Peter's here listening to the word of God being taught, and things are starting to happen. Now, the other thing that's important to see, so he's kind of doing his own thing, and Jesus shows up. He's hearing the word of God. But the other thing is, like, who picked the boat? Jesus? Did Jesus had a clue about who owned the boat? Of course he did. So he picks the boat and says, Simon, get in the boat with me. Jesus is like crosshairs on this, at least so far, like witless fisherman. He's got his crosshairs on him. You know, Simon will hear. He's going to get this nickname. By the way, Peter is a nickname. It means rock. It's from the Greek word for rock. And so his given name was Simon. Actually, Simeon, right, named after one of Jacob's sons. Later, Jesus is going to say to him and the others, the rest of the 12, he's going to say, you do know that you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit that will last forever. John 15:16. He says that at the Last Supper. He says that. And that's what we see going on here. Is Simon the candidate is being chosen by Jesus, and he invades his space. And what's really important for us all to see is that Jesus is demonstrating that he has authority over that, as well as authority over demons and illness. And as we dig deeper into Luke, we're going to see he has authority over the wind and the weather and like everything. Because Jesus is Lord. You say that? Jesus is Lord. He is, okay? So he has authority. And so he shows up with authority, he invades the space. Simon becomes a candidate. I love the fact that this is set in a fishing story, because what does Simon do for a living? He's a fisherman, right? At this point in the story, guess who the fish is? It's Simon, okay? And as the story moves on, what does Jesus do? He tells him where to cast the net. And he has like prepositioned the fish, so when the net gets cast, it catches the fish. This is actually happening to Simon right here. Man, Jesus is so cool when he just uses like the things of everyday life to teach. That gets us to the next phase here for Simon. See, because Jesus is in the boat, Jesus is talking to these other people. Simon's just kind of sitting there in the boat listening, and he's like close. Like you ever know those people like maybe from a different culture, or like inside your bubble? Right? You know, they come up and talk to you, and basically you step back, and then they step closer, and you step back, right? I mean, so Peter kind of feeling that way, right? That's kind of weird, but then it gets even weirder, because he finishes teaching, and then it gets really personal. Jesus says, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You know my fish story about the bass? Simon's going, this is the wrong time of day to fish. It's daytime. We catch these fish at night. And oh, by the way, did you know this guy's from Nazareth? Nazareth is not near the lake. This guy has no reason to have a clue about fishing. No reason at all. He's a carpenter, and he's telling me, a professional fisherman, I'm a commercial fisherman, he said, let's go catch some fish. I said, but you see how he responds? With the word master. What's going on there? I'll tell you exactly what's going on. Is that the presence of Jesus in his space, the word of God coming into his ears, the fact that Jesus has chosen him, the Spirit of God is in Peter's heart at work, and Peter, like the light bulb is going on, that this guy's in charge. That's what that word master means. By the way, that's who Jesus is, right? Jesus is in charge. That's why we proclaim him as Lord. That means he's in charge. So the light bulb's gone on. And he calls him master. And he says, master, we toiled all night and took nothing. So basically, you kidding me? Carpenter, tell me what to do? But at your word, I will let down the nets. Jesus is the living word. He's speaking the word. He's commanding. He's not saying, could we go fishing? Let's do it. He's commanding. When God speaks, fish come into creation. When God speaks, the lives of people whom he loves get changed. We get delivered. We get set free. We get made new. And Jesus is speaking. And so Peter's starting to change. And so they do this. And so it's when they had done this. And then God works this miracle. Jesus does. They enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. It's like, are you kidding me? There are no fish out here. Yeah, but the Lord of the fish just did that, right? And so the miraculous thing happens. And then verse 9, it says, he and all who are with him, so Andrew and John and James, they were astonished at the catch of fish. It literally says they were seized with amazement. Have you ever had something happen in your life where it's like so amazing you just couldn't stop talking about it? I mean, imagine these guys, you know, who are fishermen thinking there's no way we're going to catch fish. And all of a sudden they have so much fish that they have to call their friends on shore. And it says they signaled to them. So they must have been far enough out. So they're going, you know, semaphore or something, right? And so John and James, they row out there and they're getting the fish in the boat. And there's so many fish that the boats are sinking down. And they're getting so close that the water's like starting to come over the gunwales, right? And I don't think their reaction was, oh, no, we're going to drown. I'm going to guess they were giggling. They were probably like crazy with excitement and delight because God had done such a miracle for these commercial fishermen of showing up with such abundance. That's who our God is and what he does. But then this really weird thing happens, doesn't it? Like overwhelmed by the presence and the goodness and the power of God, suddenly Simon, he says he fell down at Jesus' knees. So he like drops down in the boat at Jesus' knees and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What's up with that? Here's what's up with that. Every human got a problem with God, right? Every single one of us has something in our life that has distanced us, separated us from God. The Bible calls it sin. When we in our sin actually come into the presence of a holy God, it scares the wits out of us, and it should. Because he doesn't tolerate that sin. He is a just God. He pours out wrath on sinners. And so when Simon encounters this, he's just overwhelmed by his sin. And he does what we all do. And you know, it's kind of like if you owe somebody money, you can borrow some money from somebody, you say, I'll pay it back Tuesday. And then you kind of blow it, you don't have the money, and then Wednesday comes, and then Thursday comes, and like you're pushing that cart through a super Walmart. And all of a sudden, you see that person down at the end of the other aisle. What do? Right? Okay? Right? If you've done something to offend somebody, you don't want to be near them. It's like, I mean, it's awkward. But how about if they can just like pour out like fiery wrath on you? It's like, whoa, right? That's what happens, right? And like, you've done something wrong. You got a bunch of stuff in your car you ought to have, and you see a police officer. You just kind of cruise over this way, right? And so that's exactly what Peter does. He says, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. Oh, Lord. That's the human heart, the human condition. That's what Adam did in the garden. Right? When they first sinned, he hides from the Lord. It's the same phenomenon we see in the world around us today. You know, it's when a guy like me, like I pray at the Memorial Day parade, and I walk through the parade with my little American Legion hat on because I was in the Navy, but I carry a Bible, and then I discover they're like people in town that when they see me, they basically kind of, you know, don't want to talk to that guy because, like, God's in his life, and if God gets close to me, I'm going to, like, burst into flames. I've even had people, like, say that about, gee, I walked into the church, and the church didn't burst into flames. Like, look, the church is not at risk. You are. Okay? Right? So that's just like, so this is what's going on in Simon Peter's life. But let me tell you something. The moment you come to grips with your sin and confess them to the Lord of the universe is the moment that everything changes in your life. And that's what's happening to Simon here. He's going from Simon the candidate to Simon the convert in this very moment. And Jesus' response to him is the best news a condemned sinner can ever hear from the living God. Do not be afraid. That's what he says. You have every reason to be afraid because I, the God of the universe, don't tolerate sin and I squash it like a bug and you would be one of the bugs. And when you come into his presence with your sin, you go, are you? And he says, do not be afraid. Brothers and sisters, this is the heart of the gospel, is that God loves us so much that this Jesus came to earth and he died on a cross for our sins so that we can be set free from it. And when we come to grips with our sin and come to Jesus and say, I am a sinful man, I am a sinful woman, when we confess our sins, his answer is, do not be afraid because I love you so much I took your sin for you. Now, this is before the cross, but the reality of the relationship is exactly the same. I'm your Savior, and I'm here to tell you, I'm here to save you. And so you don't have to be afraid. So Simon the fish is now Simon the catch. Catch of the day, right on the menu. Nobody chuckled. Okay. Here's the deal. When Jesus catches you, like you're saved, right? You're delivered. You're in the boat. You're where you belong. You've been set free. No more fear, no more guilt, no more shame. And the things that hold us captive in this life, the shackles are broken and we are set free. Free to be filled with peace and love and joy and to live a life. Now here's the interesting part for him. See, there actually are three steps that Peter's going through here. Peter the candidate with Jesus. Peter has no idea he's going to be the leader of the church. Clueless. Jesus shows up. And then Jesus invades his life with his presence. Peter comes under conviction of his sin. And the candidate becomes the convert. But this is so important for all of us as Christians to hear. That's not the end. See, the end is not the day that you come to Jesus and are set free from your sins. The end is not the day you receive eternal life. I mean, basically, what do you get? You get like eternal life. That like lasts forever. It starts the day you meet Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus, John chapter 3, that you will not see the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. To be born is to start a life, a new life, a profoundly different life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 begins with this idea that since you have been raised with Christ, so now you're saved, right? You are to put off the old and put on the new. Talking about a whole new life. And so what happens is Jesus says, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. It's interesting. The fish has become the catch and is now back to being a fisherman, but he's not catching fish anymore. He's catching men. And so the boat and the nets no longer of any use to him. See what they do here? It says, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Think about that for a second. Like their livelihood, it was the family business. You know, their livelihood, their families, the town they lived in, they walked away from it all to follow Jesus. See, because Jesus doesn't save us that we might be saved. He doesn't save us just to set us free from our afflictions and our pain and our stuff. He sets us free to become catchers of people. See, the only reason we're here is because Jesus, we'll get to this in a lot of weeks later on in Luke chapter 19, right? It says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And then he saved us and he left. And so he left us with a task to seek and to save that which is lost. Not to live like a happy life in the church family, here in the huddle. Not to have just a nice time, you know, singing praise songs or complaining about the ones you don't like, you know. That's not his calling in our lives. His calling is the same as it is here. They leave everything, they follow Jesus. But by the way, in Matthew's account of this scene, it says that what Jesus said was, follow me, that's a commandment. Follow me. By the way, Jesus is about to walk away, so if he leaves, you got to leave with him. And then he said, and I will make you fishers, catchers of men. And so when we start to follow him, he starts to transform our lives, and he makes us new and different and fresh, and he reorients our lives so that the things of this life, the things that would like hold us back, the things that might matter the most, you know, whether it's you know, our careers or our houses or our cars or our sports or our relationships with our neighbors or, you know, whatever those things are, our degrees, our status, none of that matters, because now you've been invited into a new life. Well, what really matters is the kingdom of heaven and the rescue of people from the kingdom of darkness. Three steps here. The fish becomes the catch, becomes the catcher of men. The candidate becomes the convert, becomes the committed. So challenge for us all today, it's like, where are you in this story? Is Jesus knocking on the door of your life and he showed up, you know, he came to earth. Maybe he's walked into your life and is speaking into your life. In my life, it was the Word of God that did it. It wasn't some clever evangelist or a guy with a little Four Spiritual Laws tract or something. It was just the Word of God, just a story about Jesus. In a setting that God put me in, dealing with circumstances in my life that were uncomfortable, that made me like hunger and thirst for something new, and then Jesus kind of said, here's the new, here's the answer. And I was just like that poor bass, you know. I wish I should have written down the date of my biggest bass ever. Because I probably would have written down how long it was. And it would have been a lot smaller. But it's just like that bass, right? It's like the rubber worm. He put it right there, and then he basically said, you're hungry, aren't you? Prompted me to bite. Where are you? Maybe God is working on you right now. That's kind of a weird feeling, isn't it? That the God of the universe would love you so much that he would like just zero in on your life and put crosshairs on your heart and say, I want you. I want you to be mine. I want you to hear this word. I want you to know that there is freedom. There is forgiveness. There is new life. And it is so much better than the old life. And it ends with glory, not with death and punishment. And I want you. Maybe that's you. If it is, give him the load of your sin and step into the boat with Jesus. Or maybe you have responded to the salvation message. Maybe it was years ago. But you've never actually said, I'm willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. I mean, sometimes we sing that song, I Surrender All, right? If you sang it, were you honest? Maybe today's the day when God is going to prompt you to say, you know what? It's time for me to get like serious about following the Lord. Because you don't have to read the news a whole lot, you know, another mass shooting, you know, whatever those things are, that all the trouble around the world. You don't have to read the news a lot to know that what the Bible says about the end coming, every day is a day closer to the end when all those that aren't in Jesus will be destroyed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if by committing our lives that many might be saved? These are challenging things, aren't they? And you know, wherever you are, and you know what, maybe you're already committed to the Lord. Maybe it's just kind of a refresher about how awesome it is that Jesus like invaded my life and that he died for me and set me free. And that's actually what this table is about. We're going to celebrate in a few minutes. You know, this table is a celebrating of our ongoing covenant relationship with one who loved us and died for us and called us to himself. And we call him Lord and we serve him and serve him and serve him. And we just then have the delight of joining him in glory. And I'm so looking forward to that day when, in glory, somebody walks up to me, maybe somebody I don't even know who they are, and say, you know, because you serve the Lord, I'm here, and I'm with the Lord, and I'm good forever. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the beauty of this story. And Lord, I ask that you might work in our hearts and lives just to move each and every one of us here to the next step. You know where we are. You know us each. You have chosen those who will be yours. You reach in and you change us. You call us. Lord, would you just be at work like right now in all of our hearts that we might just hear clearly your voice saying, come, follow me. And move in our lives, Lord, that we would take our boat into land, leave everything and follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.